All right, nice to hear from Kurt Bevacqua. He grew up in North Miami, Bill, North Miami, and went to Day Junior College. He's a contemporary of mine from South Florida, so glad to...
I was going
to
say that. You're homeboy down in Florida.
Yeah, glad to hear that. Very good. I'm looking forward to the second part of that. But joining us now, he is from the city of Chicago. He's a Bay Area guy. He's a wonderful writer, Mark Gonzalez from the Chicago Tribune. Mark, you've got two teams in the playoffs, the Cubs and the White Sox. Had a big deal yesterday, Cubs White Sox. You got real baseball action cooking right now.
Yeah, it was quite festive last night. And prior to the game, you would have thought that both teams were in last place, that the sky was falling because of the Cubs losing three straight at Pittsburgh, and then the White Sox getting swept by the Indians, who are a very, very underrated team. But there was a lot of panic on both sides of town until last night when the Cubs finally broke through and displayed the power that I think a lot of people have been waiting for.
Mark, Bill Lasky joining Marty Lurie today, and you're just talking about that. They only had 14 home runs going into this series against the White Sox, and sure enough, they come up with five, two by Contreras. And what about the bat flip he did? It was halfway up into the stands, and, I mean, he was really excited. Tell us a little bit about that moment.
Well, Contreras hadn't hit a home run since the Dead Sea was sick. No, I mean, since September 4th. And he wasn't the only one. I mean, there were guys that were going through month-long droughts. And Anthony Rizzo told him before the game, hey, if you hit a homer or do something special, make sure everybody knows about it. So he hits a 99-mile-an-hour pitch from Dylan Cease on the outside corner. And it was a rocket. And that ball landed in right field before the bat landed because Mr. Contreras took a few steps out of the box and then grazed toward his grazed toward his own dugout and flipped the bat, and it went very high. I don't know, 30 feet maybe, who knows? But it was very, very high. And then a couple of bats later, the White Sox expressed their feelings about the bat flip, and Jimmy Cordero grazed him in the back, and now he's got a three-game suspension, and Rick Renteria is suspended for this game as well, and Don Cooper, the pitching coach, was fine. But Contreras kept his poise and said if he had to do it over again, he would.
Mm. Hey, Gonzo, the Cubs obviously are going to be in the playoffs. Where are they locked into? Because Giants could be 8 or 7. Where are the Cubs? Could they meet each other?
It'd be pretty tough. I think right now if the Cubs clinch the division, they'd be guaranteed no worse than the 3 seed. And, you know, 4 things have to happen for them not to earn that spot. So the odds are in their favor right now that they'd earn that 3rd spot. But stranger things have happened.
Boy, Mark, Chris Bryant really taking some heat in the press from different airwaves to Chicago about all the injuries from the oblique, the elbow, the wrist, the fingers. One reporter called him a China doll. I could not believe that. But at the same time, tell me your thoughts. So what's going on with Chris Bryant and the Cubs?
He's just had a rough season simply because of injuries and then trying to play through them. To his credit, he's trying to play through these injuries. In fact, when he hurt his wrist on August 12th at Cleveland, he stayed in the game and hit a home run, and then it started flaring up even more. He did feel some pain prior to that home run, but then he tried to play through it for 3 more games, and that's not the only issue he's had. You know, he had some back trouble at the start of summer training, and then he hurt his elbow trying to extend it on a swing, and then he gets hit there. It's almost been like the perfect storm for him, and, you know, going back to the last couple of seasons, he's had to deal with some injuries, you know, a bone bruise that nagged him for about, you know, parts of 8 weeks. And last year he had the ankle issue that nagged him for a while, and he's tried to play through these injuries. I don't think the criticism is fair. He has chased a lot of pitches out of the strike zone. That's not good, but I would say that this guy's given an honest effort every day he's worn a Cub uniform.
Javier Baez, another one. He's hitting under 200. I looked at the numbers, and Gonzo, you know, being on the West Coast, everything has been West Coast-centric. AL West, NL West, you know, it's hard to get a real grasp for what's going on, but I look at the Cub batting averages, and I see they're in, and I know that Darvish could be a Cy Young Award winner, but Baez under 200? How does that happen?
If he's not chasing outside pitches or missing pitches on the outside corner that he's trying to pull, He's missing hittable fastballs down the middle. It's been very mystifying. He knows it. He's got the same issue Ian Happ does, where they're just missing pitches that they usually clobber. And he knows it. And I think now that he was struggling up until last night, you know, pitchers have been trying to tease him with outside stuff and trying to get him to expand the strike zone. And sometimes he has. It's been mystifying. Like you said, how this team is close to clinching a division title, and yet having four of their big five hitters hit, you know, 215 or lower, and it's well earned. I mean, they can say tough luck all you want, but when you're hitting into shifts, you're not adjusting.
You know, Mark, you look at this starting rotation, and Hugh Darvish definitely has that Cy Young kind of year, going 8-3 with a 2.01, just a really good game yesterday. Hendricks is another one, 6-5. Mills, 5-5. What do you really look at? And you even throw Lester in there. This starting rotation's been up and down all year. Is this going to be enough to get through the playoffs?
I think the first round it might be, because it's a best of three. But then when you go to the next round, which is a best of five with no days off, then you really got some issues. And I think that's where they're going to might have to piggyback in at least one or two of those starts, whether it be game three or game four. You know, John Lester's starting tonight, and he's been hot and cold. He actually pitches better on the road than at home, but he's got a big test tonight because he's facing a White Sox lineup that's predominantly right-handed, and John hasn't fared well against right-handed lineups. In fact, he got clobbered last time he faced the White Sox. I believe he gave up about four home runs in less than four innings, so this is a big challenge for him. But getting back to the playoff scenario, the big challenge, if they can get past the first round, will be for that rotation to give them some quality innings in the subsequent round, because it is a best of five. You can depend on Darvish and Hendricks, but then it gets a little iffy with Lester. And then Alec Mills is another guy that's been hot and cold. He kind of reminds me of one of your old former teammates, I believe Al Ripley.
Sure, I remember him.
Well,
that's a good one.
Yeah, so I mean, he's not going to blow the ball by you. He's going to throw that curve, and when he gets the curve over, he's effective, like you saw in the no-hitter against the Brewers. But you know, realistically, he's a number five guy who's had to take on a bigger chunk there. And then you know, we'll see from there, because they got a lot of guys that are injured or coming off injuries. Namely, Jose Quintana, lefty, who's going to be pitching out of relief in the playoffs. So they're going to have to get some innings out of these guys, or else it's going to be a one and done.
Well, everybody's got trouble. That's the point of this spring training 2.0 in the 60-game season. Pitchers are falling by the wayside. It happens every day. We pick up a paper and somebody's going on the IL. But I'll tell you one thing, this National League Central between the Cardinals and the Reds all of a sudden have gone crazy, and then you got the Brewers still in it. You got the Cubs probably going to win the division with a team with a batting average of under 200 or something. What a division this has been. This is crazy.
It's been wacky. And then you throw in what the Cardinals have gone through with the COVID-19 games have been postponed, and then them trying to make up all those games, and quite frankly, doing a really good job. But I mean, offensively, they're challenged as well, power-wise. And then everybody expected the Reds to come on, and finally they have, and they just got enough to get in the playoffs. But, you know, quite frankly, I think you can make a case for them overachieving or just being, you know, overhyped, which I think is the case. And then the Brewers, I just don't think they had enough. You know, it was unfortunate that Corbin Burnes got hurt, the kid from St. Mary's, because I thought he really had a great shot for the Cy Young until he got hurt the other day. And this guy has deluxe stuff, and I think the Brewers finally figured out it's best to keep him in the rotation rather than shuttle him back and forth to Nashville to curb his service time.
You know, the first-year manager, David Ross, doing real well, and, you know, he's taken on some injuries. He's taken on offensive woes, defensive woes. I mean, he's gotten thrown a lot of things at him, Mark, his first year. Tell me your thoughts on him and how he's handled everything.
He's really kept the guys together, and it's been big because of all the challenges it had in other teams as well. But I mean, we saw it up close here. Tommy Hotovy, their pitching coach, he was quarantined for 30 days because of the COVID-19 virus, and Mike Napoli, another coach, missed a month. So they kind of use those as examples for these guys to adhere by the protocols, and it's worked out well because the Cubs are the only team in baseball that hasn't had a positive test among their players. So David's really stayed on these guys, the follow protocol, and it's paid off. And I think keeping these guys unified, David's not going to throw anybody under the bus. He's not too far removed from the field as a player. So he's really kept this team very positive, very tight. He's had to have a few teaching moments. I think you saw on national TV last Sunday when he took Schwarber out of the game for misplaying a ball in left field corner. I thought it was an overreaction, but Schwarber praised his manager, and all the players were behind him, and life goes on. So I would think that, you know, David's done a good job of keeping the troops tight. I do think there's some times where a pitching change or pitch hitting appearance might lead to some head scratching, but for the most part, he's kept his team very unified.
Boy, Mark, great to have you on with us. Mark Gonzalez of the Chicago Tribune. Before we let you go, maybe just one quick comment on the White Sox, the south side of Chicago. How far can the White Sox go? Talk about pitching. They've got some pitching.
Yeah, they do. They're throwing a guy tonight, Dane Dunning, who's got a deluxe arm. I mean, he throws it in the high 90s. Last night we saw Dylan Cease, not too good of an outing. It was just a command with him. Usually he has high pitch counts. He just located his fastball in a long spot. But, I mean, they're promising. The only issues right now is a couple of their big sticks are either hurt or really slowed down. You know, Ramirez, Eloy Jimenez might be out for the series. He's a big part of their lineup. And then Luis Robert, who's just sensational. I mean, I'd be surprised this guy doesn't win Rookie of the Year. I don't cover the American League anymore, but this guy's just sensational, but he's hit a wall, and it really shows. I mean, some of the at-bats haven't been good, but this guy's an incredible talent. I can see him making, you know, six or seven all-star teams, and this guy's talent is just off the charts. And he carried him for quite a while, but they need him to get going again because he really solidifies the middle of that order.
Boy, it's going to be fun. Gonzo, thanks so much. Take care of yourself. And I know you're going to see a lot of baseball over the next couple of weeks, so enjoy it.
Thanks, Mark.
I'll try. Take care, guys.
All right. That is Mark Gonzalez of the Chicago Tribune. Barry Bloom of Sportico coming up next right here on the Sports Leader.